Now, the chances are that in books or films or on TV, you have had a recent encounter with the undead, from the phenomenally popular US TV series The Walking Dead, or to that reworking of Jane Austen for film Pride, Pride and Prejudice, and zombies. Zombies do appear to be colonising our culture, don't they? So where does this figure of the zombie actually come from? And what does the current obsession with zombies tell us about ourselves? Why zombies? Why now? Roger Luckhurst is a professor of literature at the University of London, and he is a zombie expert. And he joins us now from New York City. Welcome, Roger.
Great to be here.
So how did this come about? How did you come to be a zombie expert?
I'm always interested in where these strange superstitions and supernatural stories come from. And I'm really interested in those that are kind of hover between fact and fiction. So things like vampires, you know, they started as kind of true stories in the 1730s about Hungary. You know, these strange, crazy peasants believe all this sort of stuff. And you watch it over the centuries creep across from, the far margins of Europe into the centre. And it's exactly the same with mummies or with zombies. So just tracking down the origins of it is really interesting.
Well, what's the working definition of a zombie?
That's a really hard question because it depends what you mean. The original zombies are associated with the Caribbean and particularly with Haiti, which had the worst, most brutal slave trade in the 18th century. And it seemed to have emerged from the plantations there. So it's kind of a mixing of African belief with Catholic conversion, forced conversion of slaves, and a kind of mix in the environment there. And many people think that the zombie, in a sense, is a metaphor for being a slave, you know, literally working yourself to death, as so many people did in Haiti.
Let's unpack that a little bit more, Roger. This business about the zombies coming from Haiti, who brings that to us? Who are the people on the ground who are telling that story?
Yeah, that's a really good question as well. And it's partly to do with travel writers, rumours, stories in the 19th century. But there are two particularly key travellers into Haiti who bring it out. The first is Lafcadio Hearn, who went to Martinique in 1889, and he kept hearing this word and he kept asking people, what does zombie mean? And he got a different answer every time. The next person who goes, though, is William Seabrook, and he goes in the 1920s. He's an American travel writer, an extraordinary figure, actually, very famous feature writer in the 1920s. And he not only went to Haiti and joined a voodoo cult, but someone casually said, oh, well, if you're interested in zombies, I can introduce you to some. And he is taken in the middle of the night to a plantation field and is introduced to a team of zombies. And he's completely overwhelmed by this experience because there in front of him are apparently undead people. And he writes that up in 1929, and that becomes the basis of the film White Zombie in 1932. So within a few years, it's in the Hollywood system, and it's launched as a mythology in America.
I think we need a film about William Seabrook himself, because he appears to be a man who pursued appetites, however strained.
William Seabrook is an amazing figure. Yeah, absolutely. He was an occultist. He wrote a memoir about committing himself to a mental asylum because he was a spectacular drunk. He was also a modernist in Paris, and he was famous for being really, really into bondage. So he's quite an interesting guy all round.
Yeah, man for all seasons.
Yeah.
Something for everybody in his life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I was thinking about influences that might go back a bit earlier, Roger. Just thinking of, you know, these images of the undead coming out of graves makes me think of those paintings that, you know, go back into medieval history of the resurrection of the dead, the second coming, that biblical story. And also the stories or the pictures that you get of Ezekiel, connecting them dry bones, the army of the dead that he creates. Do you think there's an iconography that we borrow from those biblical sources when we appropriate the zombies into our own culture?
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. There is a kind of deep history here which goes all the way back to the medieval period and beyond, actually. But particularly, I think, that sense of a fascination with the physical resurrection of the body, which was so central to medieval thought. So lots and lots of apocrypha about Lazarus and the life of Lazarus after he's been revived by Jesus. Lots and lots of material about the so-called immaculate bodies of saints, so those that are pure endure in life don't decay. People would travel hundreds of miles to go and see these kind of bodies that had been mummified and preserved miraculously. So I think there is an awful lot of material about that physical resurrection. Of course, that doesn't go away until the late 19th century, really. People are still very, very fascinated by the physical body. I've just been reading a whole lot of material about Victorians doing post-mortem photography because it was a way of preserving, you know, the memory of the loved one in physical form. So I think this doesn't go away, and it's still bubbling away behind our so-called cynical secular world, I think.
Just to stay with the Victorians for a moment, when we think about stories of the other in the Victorian world, we're always talking about colonialism at some level. And when colonialism, or when the imperial powers dramatise the other, it's usually a confrontation between the civilised and the savage. Is that what's playing into this story as well?
I think that's right. I do. And Haiti in particular, because it was the only successful slave rebellion that turned itself into a republic. It's called Haiti from 1804, after the slaves overthrow the French and the British and the Americans as well. You know, everyone is trying to get this republic back because it's the most profitable colony of the French Empire. So after that point, it is utterly demonized. They are savages, they are cannibals, they have this horrible voodoo religion that's completely invented largely by terrified Westerners. So I think there is something there. And the idea now that we have in The Walking Dead of them being completely, you know, obsessed with devouring meat of the living, that goes straight back to the most awful kind of cliches of the savage and the cannibal in the colonial imagination. So I think you're right. What's interesting, though, I think, is that it's our fantasies, as it were. It's the Western world's fantasies of of the savage. It's not actually the practices of the so-called savage. It's us imposing something, fantasizing about what the other does.
Well, something must be going on. They must have described some event, but it's what we're projecting onto it that's of interest here.
Yes, I think that's right. I mean, I think there is there's been a lot of work actually about whether cannibalism in fact, you know, does exist in the Caribbean, or if it's not something that's imposed or interpreted or misinterpreted. I think there is anthropological evidence that there are clearly ritual forms of eating your enemy or gaining power from your enemy. But this is always very kind of circumscribed and careful. Whereas the descriptions of Haiti are of, you know, literally thousands of bones lying around, people just, you know, having a snack on the occasional baby here and there. And we have these kinds of fantasies about many others all the way through the 19th century, I think.
Now, you mentioned the TV series The Walking Dead, which is phenomenally successful. I mean, if you compare it with The Night of the Living Dead, the 1968 film by George Romero, it's a low-budget black-and-white film. It looks pretty creaky now. It's not as if it's a kind of mass phenomenon film. It was always appeared to a kind of sector of the audience. But now we've got this hugely best-selling series, The Walking Dead, which I don't get, Roger. When I look at it, I just think, what a distasteful, cruel, violent, nasty, paranoid show with a lot of white people just blowing away these people with a kind of zest and relish and self-righteousness. And there feels to me to be a kind of racist subtext to all of this too.
It's a very strong reading of The Walking Dead, which I mostly agree with, I have to say. One of the starting points was thinking, well, you know, every week on The Walking Dead, someone's head is horribly, you know, blown apart or dismembered. And this happens again and again and again, week after week after week. Whereas when George Romero was making his film, this was completely, you know, unwatchable. He couldn't get a rating for that film, and nor could he for his two follow-up films either. So, you know, it's something has shifted that in representations, which mean that that kind of gruesomeness has somehow become acceptable. What The Walking Dead is about is not actually the zombies. It's about the survivors. And really, it's an obsessive investigation of what it means to be human and what you're prepared to do to defend your family and your community. And nearly always, it makes a very conservative decision about that. You know, you belong to us, therefore we will protect you. Anyone else who we don't know is, you know, some kind of vicious savage or cannibal of some kind, or a zombie. It's a kind of endless investigation of what it means to defend your own. So I think it's coming from a very particular place in America, and that it's set in the South of America, in the slave states, the former slave states, I think is very significant and very problematic. There's always an uproar whenever a black character in that season is killed, which is quite often, they don't last very long. And that's a sense of that undertow, that background, for me, I think, does take the zombie still all the way back to colonialism.
Now, Roger, that explains why The Walking Dead might be popular in that sector of America. It doesn't explain to me why all over the world there are festivals of zombies when people dress up as the undead and sort of walk down the street as if it's a huge joke. What's right. that about? Why are we doing this
yeah,
now?
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? So these are the kind of, you know, the zombie walks take place in over 100 cities now around the world. And you know, people don't dress up as survivors, do they? Because that's... they always dress up as zombies.
Yeah, you know,
they
weird. Kind of what's
it's
going on?
It's strange, isn't it? Yeah, what the hell's going on? It's, you know, it's a very, very potent metaphor, I think, for, you know, it's really easy to do, but I think it's an obvious thing to say that we're obsessed with the 1% versus the 99%. And this sort of sense of absolutely brutal inequality across the world is being kind of played with here, I think, with this metaphor. So we are the masses. We are the stupid undead who are being enslaved by the 1%. And you can see how people would buy into that as a kind of form of ritual performance, not a rage. Maybe it's better than rioting, in fact, to kind of go and dress up as the undead and play this out, because you understand precisely where it's coming from, what you're saying. It's a kind of anger, a kind of rage about this. And also, we love these kind of crossing overs, you know, life and death, cross-dressing between life and death. It's all performance of an imaginative investment in a particular kind of identity, I think.
Roger, one of the tropes of monster stories, starting with Frankenstein from 1818, or Dracula, or The Hunchback of Notre Dame, all 19th century stories, is the question, who is the monster here? So that you get, well, Frankenstein's the obvious example. Frankenstein's monster is actually sort of gentle, and it's the people, the same with The Hunchback of Notre Dame, the people turn, the citizenry turn on this person who they brand as not us. So you can inflect the politics one way or the other. It's almost as though the zombie is a contested site. You could have a, you can villainize the zombie, or you can seek for humanity in the zombie. Are both sides of that ledger being played in the way the zombie story is told?
Yeah, that's. I think that's right. I think that's really good, actually. It's a sense of, I mean, if this wasn't a mobile metaphor, if it didn't work in many ways, it would be exhausted very quickly. And I think it does flip around in different kinds of ways. Some fans get very upset when the rules are changed, but of course there are no rules. You know, they're imaginary. So when zombies right. when zombies start running, you know, people get yeah. very upset. You think, but it's just changing the rules. That's, you know, they weren't. There's no hard and fast rule here. And it's the same recently, actually, with zombies beginning to acquire consciousness, which has only happened in the last 6 or 7 years or so. But we're starting to get the story from the zombies' side. So there are films like Warm Bodies, which I'd really recommend, actually. It's a very funny version of Romeo and Juliet, but told between Rom and Zom, Romeo and the zombie. And that sort of inversion going on of us investigating what it means to be an undead person, to be abjected in that way. So there are quite interesting series, like the BBC did one called In the Flesh, which is about people who suffer prejudice, terrible prejudice, from partially dead syndrome. Lovely idea. And, you know, they come back and they're being attacked in their communities. And it's clearly a kind of metaphor for coming out, being gay in a small community, or else, you know, being racially other and being, you know, suffering prejudice. So there are loads of ways in which you can spin the zombie from the other side. And I think that's more interesting to me than The Walking Dead, where the zombies are just utterly uninteresting. They're there just to be a special effect to be destroyed.
So as we wind up, Roger, do you have a favourite zombie movie, or one or two? If we're zombie virgins, where should we start?
Well, I would recommend actually seeing the very first one, White Zombie in 1932, which is really easily available. And it's got Bela Lugosi as the zombie master. It's 60 minutes long, but it's a really, really striking, evocative origin, actually, of where this all comes from. And then I would go on to, you have to really see George Romero's either Night of the Living Dead or its follow-up, Dawn of the Dead, both of which are, whatever you think of them, astonishing. They really are breathtaking. And you see the origin of, well, quite a lot of our popular culture in those two films. So I'd really recommend those. And there are some very, very interesting new films. I'll set a challenge for people to try and find a Chilean film called The Desert, which is just three people in a room, one of whom's a zombie, and the other two are desperate to try and get some recognition from this zombie, to try and communicate with it. And that takes an hour or and a half to not get very far. But it's really compelling sense of, yes, this is precisely what this zombie metaphor does for us. It allows us to think about our own humanity.
Do you sleep all right at night?
Oh, very comfortably, yes, yes. But in fact, I'm working on the Sleepers Who Return at the moment. So the idea of Sleeping Beauty and people who fall into long sleeps only to return. Because that happened quite a lot where I am at the moment in New York in the 1920s. There was a huge outbreak of sleeping sickness, which they never quite cured.
How marvellous. Well, we'll talk to you about that one when that comes out. But for the moment, Roger, it's been great to talk to you. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Roger Luckhurst is Professor of Modern Literature at the University of London and is the author of Zombies, A Cultural History, which is published by Reaction Books. And if you head to our website, you'll find all the details of that. And if you go to the RN homepage, there's a feature article, our feature article, about the history of the zombie, and it's already provoked some very, very heated debate. It's all up and running. You can't run as a zombie, so why don't you join that fray as well. This is Books and Arts on RN. I'm Michael Cathcart, where next up we find out what's happening in the international theatre scene.